Amen. Living by faith. You know, there was a time in the Bible that they lived by sight, that they had to see something in order to even believe that God existed. But today, we can believe the Word of God, which produces the faith in our lives, and we can surely live by it. I am honored to be here today to have this opportunity to stand before you once again and to preach the unsearchable truths of Jesus Christ. I want to keep Brother Brooks and Brother Stroud in prayer that everything will go successfully. And I'm so thankful to him and the congregation here for this opportunity to stand before you. But most of all, I'm thankful to God, because God is good, and God is good all of the time. I can't think of a time that God is not good. But I want you to know something, that there's going to come a time when God is going to judge the world. And I tell you what, all we've got to do as Christians is just to hold on to God's unchanging hands. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn them to Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 139th division of the book of Psalms. And I'm not going to read all of it. We want to thank all the brothers for allowing God to use them on this morning. And it's been already read, but I just want to look at the thought that comes from Psalms 139. And the thought that we get from this particular book is that God is good and God is everywhere. God knows everything. God's presence, he's all-powerful. And I tell you, the Bible says wherever you go, that God is there. Let's read the scripture in verse number 7. The Bible says, whither shall I go
from thy spirit?
Uh-huh.
Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?
Uh-huh.
If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me.
Thank you, brother, for reading that. We can see God is everywhere. God knows it all. God created us in his own image. But yet, I want to talk to you a few minutes. And I know that Brother Floyd got up and he said that this is a sound church, and that I was a sound preacher. But I have a subject matter on this morning that I want to discuss with you. And it might make you think that I've gone completely crazy. You see, since God is all seeing, God is everywhere at the same time, the Bible says he knows the end at the beginning. But I want you to know that I know 5 things that God does not know. And I know you're looking at me strange. I know you're saying that, why did you call him over here to preach false doctrine? But before we leave here today, before this particular sermon become history, you would know the same things that I know. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm saying that I'm smarter than God. Nobody is smarter than Almighty God. God is our creator. He knows you and he knows me better than we know ourselves. But there are five things I can tell you. And you're probably wondering, how can you even think of one thing? Less known, five. Well, God doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate. God hates sin. His son was on the cross, hanging for you and for me, that we could have the right to the tree of life. He was having holding sin in his body, and Jesus cried out, "Oh, Father, Father, why have thou forsaken me?" God hates every evil way. And see, the Bible says in Romans the 6th chapter, verse number 23, that the wages of sin is death. If you want to be separated from Almighty God, all you got to do is sin. Unrepentant sin, that is. Because we are all sinners. But we are in need of the blood of Jesus every day in our lives that we can repent and still have favor with Almighty God. But sin separates us from God. There's not a sin that God does not hate. Get me Psalms, the 4th chapter, the 5th chapter, and verse number 4 through 6, please. Psalms, the 5th division, and verse number 4 through 6.
For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man.
You see, God hates sin. But why God hates sin, he loves the sinner. The Bible says in Romans, the 7th chapter, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You see, it's nothing can separate us from God's love. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But while he hates the sin, he loves the sinner. And while sin, nothing can separate us from his love, but there are some things that can separate us from his fellowship. And that thing is sin. So the second thing is, God doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love. The Bible says in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse number 8, while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh man, I want you to know that God's motivation for sinning Jesus was love. He loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But this belief in Jesus, the Bible says, has to come from the scriptures. That's why faith is produced from God's word. You see, we're not talking about your mama and what your mama taught you and what your grandma taught you. We're talking about what does the Bible teach. Amen. Our faith is produced by God's word, because without faith, Hebrews 11 verse 6, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. This belief has to come from God's word. Now, I'm not trying to talk about your mama or your grandma, because they might have taught you what's right. I'm just telling you, God has already set his plan in motion. And the motion is the scriptures. You see, we can't go wrong. The scriptures are they that testify of Jesus. We find that we have eternal life. The Bible says, search the scripture daily. Oh, man, I tell you what, sometimes we need to just thank God for God. That's right. Jesus Christ is God, but he's God the Son. And I'm going to tell you something. What manner of love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends? You see, they did not take Jesus' life. He laid it down. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels. But I'm going to tell you something. He did not. He had joy all the way to the cross. So there is not a sinner that God does not love. God loves everybody. That's why he sent his son. The blood of bulls and goats wasn't getting it no more. I remember when John the Baptist was out there baptizing. And that's in John, the first chapter, I believe, around verse number 28, 29, somewhere up in there. He said, this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Matthew 1, 21 and 1, 23, the Bible says, virgin shall be with child. Name shall be called Jesus. Then one say, virgin shall be with child, which means this child would be Jesus that would take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the God, Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. So God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. He doesn't know a sinner. Now, let me tell you something else about God. Tell you something else God doesn't know. See, we're not talking about what people talk about. We're talking about what God. God doesn't know any other gospel that would save us. He doesn't know any other gospel. You see, it's the gospel of Christ that saves us, not the gossip of man. Man will tell you to do this, that, and the other. But God only has one way of saving a person. And Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. Hey, you trying to follow that Trump wagon if you want to. You're going to find yourself in a hole instead of in the air. No other gospel than the gospel of Christ. Let's see what God says. And we're going to talk about this gospel in just a few minutes, because it is imperative that we understand it is the gospel of Christ that saves us. The Bible says, give me 1 Corinthians 1, 18, then around verse number 23. The Bible says in Romans 1 and verse number 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Y'all see that? It is. That means, guess what? It means one. It always had meant one. Y'all remember that word it, see? I know there's a movie used to come on a long time ago called It. But in the English language and any other language, it has always meant one. It's not but one gospel. It's not one that look like it, one that smell like it. Ain't but one gospel, and that's the gospel of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18, what does the Bible say?
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
The preaching of the cross for them that perish is foolishness. Now, wait, I want to stop there for a minute because we got some foolish people still still not appreciating the preaching of the cross. Because they'll say, come on up front here and sit right here, and they'll raise the right hand of fellowship and think you're going to become a member of the church. But Jesus says, I'm the way. You got to get through Christ, the preaching of the cross. What are we talking about? We're talking about how Jesus went from judgment hall to judgment hall. We talk about how he was beaten, battered, and bruised for you and for me. And by his stripes, the Bible says, we are healed. How he shed in his blood, carrying that old rugged cross. And then they put him up there on the cross, nailed him to the cross, had nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I don't know about you. I can't even stand a splinter in my hand. I got to run to the doctor. Nails in his hands and in his feet. And then they had a hole. They dropped that cross down in that hole. It must have jogged him. But yet he hung up there on that cross. And on that cross, after they realized that he was dead, one of the soldiers came and speared him in the side. And out of his side came blood and water. Man, the cross. I tell you what, the cross is where it's at. It's at the cross where we saw the light. John said it in John 1. He was not that light. Jesus Christ is the light. It's at the cross we saw the light, y'all, because Jesus was on the cross for your sins and for mine. But to some people, that's foolishness. Let me tell you something else. We got to preach Jesus and him crucified. You see, that whole act, it's called crucifixion. But guess what's so important? He died, he was buried, and the third day he got up, never to die again. And because of that, y'all, when we die, we got the option to get up. Because he took away the sting of death. Jesus took away the sting of death. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to worry about dying now. If you die in Christ Jesus, you've been faithful to death, you can get up faithful. You ain't got to worry about death holding us down. All we got to do is be faithful to death. God doesn't know another gospel that will save us other than the gospel of Christ. Jesus said it this way. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I wonder why that is, because God is no respecter of person. He didn't say preach the gospel. See, the gospel tell you, you can just have them in your heart. All you got to do is have them in your heart right here. That's it. That's what people tell you. And then they'll say, well, let's say this sinner's prayer. Well, I learned that Paul was on his knee 3 whole days. Acts 22. He was told, Acts 9. He was told to get up. Oh, man. Wow. Oh, get up and wipe away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And be baptized. And when you're being baptized, then you are calling upon God. So the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's the good news. While we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. We got to know that God doesn't have another way. He doesn't know another way that we could be saved outside of his son. And Jesus said, the things that I've spoken, those are the things that's going to judge us in the last day, John 12 and verse number 48. So it's not the gossip. It's the gossip. I mean, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, yes. Some people gossiping about Jesus. They're talking about him like they talked about him then. But it's not that that's going to save us. God doesn't know another way. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believe it, y'all see that it is again, and is baptized. See, you got to believe that Jesus came and he hung on the tree of the cross. And while we was yet sinners, he died for me. Oh, excuse me. We got to believe that we got to contact that blood of Jesus Christ, that same blood that was shed in his death, Romans 6, 1 through 4. We got to believe that we contact it in baptism. So that's why Jesus said, he that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you know something? Your preacher can't save you. Your preacher can't save you. Mm-mm. No, sure can't. The Pope can't save you. Martin Luther King can't save you. Trump can't save you. Only Jesus does the saving. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says when they heard the message and they found out that same Jesus that you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ, then they say, men and brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. See, there it is again. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, there ain't no other name we can be saved by, Acts the 4th chapter, verse number 11, 12. Other than the name of Jesus. And you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then they gladly received the word, was baptized. Now, some of y'all might be madly receiving it now. You know, some people madly receive God's word. Them the ones that say, well, you know something, I know the Bible say that, but that's the way you interpret it. And you know something, you don't have to interpret God's word. All you got to do what it say. See, when you believe it, obey it. You see? To receive means to believe means to obey. Amen. You can't just have it your way and think everything going to be all right. And let me shoot this one down. God doesn't know a Christian that doesn't need to be faithful too. We talked about that last though. Now, after all of this, the Bible teaches us that there is not a better time than right now to obey God. See, when you hear the word, the Bible say, harden not your heart. Give me 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. The Bible say, harden not your heart. See, we don't need to harden our heart when we hear God's word. We just need to obey it. That's right. It's settled in heaven already. This is the only way we're going to be saved. To be saved means to be delivered from the penalty of your sins. That's right. When you obey God right now, he gives us, oh boy, he gives us the forgiveness of sins. Now, 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 1 and 2. You know, the Bible teaches us, the Bible teaches us that we have to learn, 1 Thessalonians 5, 21. We got to be able to prove everything that we teach.
We then,
as workers together with him,
beseech ye also.
We plead with you. We beg you
that you receive not the grace of God in vain.
Now you know some people believed in the law in the old days. The Bible say the law came by Moses, but truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace is God's unmerited favor. You know, mercy is when we don't get what we deserve, but grace is giving us something we don't deserve. See, mercy means that God does not give us what we deserve. Oh, boy. We need God's grace. We need God's grace. We need it now. I tell you, every time my house note come up, I say, oh, thank God for grace. Y'all don't never use no grace? Huh. God gives grace. He sent Jesus Christ. That's grace. We can get back in the favor of God by obeying Jesus. Because the Bible say we need to listen to him. Matthew 17, verse number 1 through 8. We got to listen to him. Hear ye him. Him has already told us that the day we hear in God's word, the day we hear his voice, harden not your heart. Then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, he said, then for, us being workers together, keep going.
For he said, I have heard thee.
I have heard thee.
In a time accepted.
Wait, now he heard you when this time is accepted by him, not by you. You see, some of us want to wait till tomorrow. James 4 say, we don't know what's on tomorrow. What's your life? It's like a vapor. Tomorrow might not never come. We need to do today what needs to be done today. That's right.
And in the day of salvation.
And in the day of salvation.
Have I secured thee?
I have secured. I helped you. I was there for you. When you needed help, I carried you. I secured thee. Keep going.
Behold. Now is the accepted time.
When is it? When?
Now is
the accepted
time.
When? Tomorrow.
Now.
Next week.
Now.
When I get home and take a picture. When is it? Right now.
All
we got is right now, y'all. We ain't got no tomorrow. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. What needs to be done right now. See, God doesn't know a better time than now. See? That's God said, don't put off the I'm just telling you what he said. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a mailman. You don't get mad when that mailman come bring that old red bill, do you? That y'all know, oh no, pink slip. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You shoot the mailman, we ain't bring you that red nose from HLMP around in July and August, the hottest months. Don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now, guess what, y'all? I know I told you it was five things, but I wanted to surprise you. See, God doesn't know another church that he's adding people to other than the church of Christ. It ain't but one church, y'all, in the Bible. Wait, preacher. Are you telling me the only church in the Bible is the church of Christ? Yes. Amen. That's what I'm telling you. Well, how can you prove that? Well, Jesus said it when he came to the cross of Caesarea Philippi in Matthew 16. And he said, who do men say I the Son of Man am? Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, just one of the prophets. He said, who do you say I? The Son of Man. Yeah. Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the confession of who you say I am, I'm going to build my church. You see, Jesus hung on that tree of the cross, shed that blood, that not only that we can get the forgiveness of sins, that he purchased his church. Acts the 20th chapter, around verse number 28. Yes, he did. He purchased it with his blood. Everything costs something, y'all. When you cranked up your car this morning, I don't think you ran on fumes. If you did, boy, you better watch out going back. See, it costs something to crank up your vehicle. Everything costs something. Well, it costs God his son. His son, it cost him his life. He shed his blood on the tree of the cross. to purchase the church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Y'all see, there it is again. That same one, that same it is there all over. Oh, wait now, wait, preacher. Does God understand plural? I believe he does. I'm going to prove it to you. In the same scripture, the Bible says, and the gates of hell. How many is that, y'all? That's more than one, ain't that right? Uh-huh, yeah. Shall not prevail against it. See, all of the troubles in the world, all even the death of the cross, even these things is not going to prevent me from building my church. So God knows it's only one church. He don't know no other one to ask. Look, I'll tell you what. Just say you don't know no Bible. Do you have? Oh, I ain't going to even ask you that. But let's just use what mama gave us. Mother will. Some of y'all ain't got it, do you? Everybody ought to have that. Common sense. If it wasn't but one church then, and he's coming back for it, there ain't but one right now. If the Bible is the roadmap to heaven, and we're going to be judged by the B-I-B-L and the basis instructions before leaving earth, we got to know there ain't but one church. And ain't but one person put you in it. You see, we don't raise no right hand of fellowship, because the same thing that voted you in can vote you out. Jesus had to add you to the church on the day of Pentecost. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse number 47, praising God and having favor with the people, with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily. He'll add you today if you obey the gospel. See, you got to understand why he shed his blood on the cross. You got to know that all those things about that. That's so imperative. That's why people are not preaching the cross, because they don't want to preach Jesus. They don't want to preach Jesus. They don't want to preach baptism. But let me say this to you. I'm going to drop this one down, and it's free. Ain't no way you can have Jesus without having his church. God don't know another way. They go together. See? That same blood, the Bible says, Matthew 26 and 26 and following, brought in the New Testament. Boy, we are Christians in New Testament time, y'all. There was no Christians in Old Testament time. There was no Christians back then. They were all in the way. Now, when we obey the gospel, we are called by the new name, Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Look, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. You need to understand that Jesus shedded his blood on the cross for you and me. A horrible, horrible death. How he took that. He went to night court, y'all. I want to tell y'all something right quick. I know y'all ready for me to sit down. I'm going to sit down in a minute. But I want you to know night court was illegal. They weren't supposed to have night court. They took him from judgment hall to judgment hall. At night. I believe that's why we got night court today, y'all. A whole bunch of crooks. Oh, God. Oh, I didn't say that. Y'all pray for me, okay? There was no night courts. That was illegal. That's right. That was illegal to have night court. But they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall, but yet he didn't even defend himself. That's our Jesus. And he hung on that tree, carried that cross. They were beating him day, night, and day. And while he was carrying his cross, they were beating him. That's a lot of beating, ain't it? I mean, I tell you what, you can't whip your child that long. They'll call 911 on you. You know it. You can't take no beating that long. Jesus took it all for us. That's right. He made it applicable that now when we hear the gospel, all we got to do is obey it. Obey it. And when we obey, he'll add us to his church. Then, if we work, we walk, and we worship faithful until he comes in the air. He ain't never, all that, you've been taught about a rapture, ain't no such thing. Jesus coming one time for all. That's right. He coming to take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel of Jesus. Oh, man. You see how important it is, the gospel? It's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is, we got to obey. Believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Repent of your sin. And confessing Jesus Christ to be God's Son, then being baptized. If you've been baptized before, you were taught wrong, you can't be baptized right. You got to know the doctrine of Christ, because without it, according to 2 John 9, 10, and 11, you don't even have God. See, you're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. That's how you get in Christ. Ain't no right hand fellowship. You got to get baptized into Jesus Christ. Then if you work, walk, and worship faithfully, when Christ comes again in the air, heaven will be your home. And if you are a Christian, and you have not been faithful, some of us in the Church of Christ going to bust hell wide open. That's right. I'm telling you, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. If you've been shaking and faking, you might want to repent. Today. Today. Don't feel shame. Don't feel embarrassed. You need to get your life right now, because all we got is right now. Amen. Repent and pray according to your repentance. God will restore you back to the fold. Come on, we're going to ask you to come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.